everybody. Welcome to this seminar. We're going deeper into children's spirituality. Let me pray and then we'll begin together. Father God, we thank and praise you so much for this day. Thank you for all that you have taught us and challenged us about in and through your word. And Father, we pray now that as we come to think particularly about children and their understanding and relationship with you, that you would guide us through your word, that you would help us to understand by your Spirit. And Father, we pray that you would send us out with knowledge that will affect our lives, our love for you, and how we work with the children in your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My name's Mel Lacey. I'm the Director of Youth and Children's Ministry at Oak Hill College. So I spend a lot of time teaching people about youth and children's work. And then I also do youth and children's work week by week myself. And then at some of the bigger kind of events or conventions at Keswick, at New Word Alive, and at some camps during the summer. So have a little bit of involvement hands-on and in teaching. It's great to be able to think about children's spirituality. Spirituality in general is something that's really, really hard to define. Most people think it's about something other, something out there that we can't really name or touch or get into contact with, but yet we need to be aware of it. If you walk into any of the great bookstores that are on the high streets, you will see spirituality sections, which represent so many different aspects of what the world thinks spirituality is about. If you're a fan of kids' TV, I have to watch a little bit for my job, you may know Waybaloo. Anyone know the TV program Waybaloo? A few people. It's a program for kind of 0 to 2 year olds, and it's all about crystals, yoga, which they call yoga, transcendental meditation, sundials. So we can see even spirituality creeping in at the youngest level of popular media. So it is everywhere. It's something we need to think about, and it's great to be able to think about it with reference to the Bible. So to begin with, I just want you to think for a couple of minutes how you would define children's spirituality. So just in twos or threes, have a chat with the person next to you. The great thing about this slot is it's a workshop, so we have to do some work. So why don't you chat and see how you would define children's spirituality? Okay, if you want to just draw those conversations to a close, we'll come back to that hopefully at the end to see if your understanding or your definition has changed somewhat. But here I think is a really good working definition of what children's spirituality can be described as. So God, by his Spirit, working in children as they encounter Jesus in God's word, so that they can live with, and I'm adding the word, for him. We're working. So God, by his Spirit, working in children as they encounter Jesus in God's word, so that they can live with and for him. I'm not sure if that's like what you defined it as, and we'll have a time to feedback and discuss it in a little bit, but let me put that out there as a perhaps a good working definition for the moment. And as we move on, here are some basic biblical foundations that I think we need to have in place that we can then build the rest of this discussion upon. Apologies that the PowerPoint is a little bit small, but if you can see them, I think it might be helpful to read them through. So the first one, the spiritual nurture of children cannot be achieved apart from the Word of God. The Bible acts as our guide in all things spiritual. So that's the very first thing that I'm assuming. And with that, then, we will remember the work of the Holy Spirit in applying God's word. The second thing is that the Bible is very, very clear that children have a sinful nature. Children have a sinful nature. So when we're working with and when we're considering children, we must remember that they have a sinful nature. The third thing that the Bible is very clear about is that children are immature and that they need to be brought to maturity. So the maturing process is encouraged and advised in the Bible for people who are of young age, but also of young faith, that there needs to be a maturing process. The sixth one then. It's very clear, I can think of from particularly Psalm 78, Deuteronomy 6, Proverbs 22, that children are to be told God's word and work so that they might place their trust in him. So you could define it this way. They must know about God so they can know God. They must know about God so that they can know God. In order for children to be saved, they need to turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. There is no other way by which man can be saved, and that includes children that we will work with. And then the final one, which we'll build upon, is that parents are primarily responsible for teaching and modelling God's truth to their children. And we as children or youth workers or Sunday school teachers, whoever we might be, we want to complement and support the work that is done in the family home. And the Bible has astonishing statements about the relationship between some children and God right from the point of conception. We know Rebecca was told the destiny of her twin sons before they were born, and that's recorded for us in Genesis 25. We know that God told Jeremiah that he had chosen him even before birth. And of John the Baptist, it was said that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And although the instances that we have in the Bible are a little bit rare and perhaps maybe too few and far between for our liking, what they do indicate is that children must constitutionally, so within themselves, they must be able to respond to God and must have a capacity to know God in and through his word. So it's clear from the Bible that children are able to know God. I'm sure that you will know from the children in your own family, from the children that you work with in church, that children are characterized by a natural inclination to faith. They're characterized by a natural inclination to faith. They have a great propensity for belief, which the Lord Jesus described as of great value, because it allows children to readily accept what is taught to them. And then we know children are capable of a childlike faith in the Lord Jesus. So overall, we can start by understanding that children are spiritual creatures. They have great spiritual capacity and potential. And that's fantastic for us, isn't it? As we work with them, as we pray for them, as we love them, to think about the capacity that they have now and the potential that they have for the future. But equally, all children are worshippers. So we know that, don't we? Even if it's from children sitting down with the Argos catalogue or watching the ads on TV that will happen more and more at this time of the year. Children like to worship things. They all worship something. And the question is not whether they will be worshippers or not, but what will they worship? And so as people who work with children, we want to guide them, to teach the child in the way it should go, so that they will worship the one who is worthy of our worship, and that is our one true God. So we're going to shepherd the children in our care as creatures of worship towards God and the Lord Jesus. And I guess something that we don't often think about, but again, to put it out there at the very beginning, is that when we think about spiritual things in a biblical way, we must recognise that while God is at work through his Spirit in our lives, there is also other work going on that is trying to pull us and equally the children that we work with away from the Lord Jesus. So remember in some ways that we're involved in a spiritual battle, that there will be people who will be feeling that very much, and children particularly. So onto the next slide. I want us to think a little bit about some Bible passages and what they indicate about a child's openness and sensitivity to the spiritual truths of God. So if, again, in twos or threes, just where you are, you could pick one of these passages, it's only a verse or two, read it, and then reflect on what it perhaps teaches us about a child's spiritual openness to God. Maybe just a minute to draw those conversations to a close. Okay, I don't need too much detail, but if you could encourage us all and feedback by just shouting out what you have learnt from the little verse or passage that you were talking about, that would be really helpful. So thinking about a child's openness to the things, the truths of God. Any thoughts? So the reference back to John the Baptist, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Obviously, John was a unique character. But as we think post-Pentecost, we can assume that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for a wider, in fact, God's church, and that it does lead us to believe that children at that young age can be filled with the Spirit. Yep, great. Come on, there must be more. Shout it out. Okay. Great, thank you. So how you interact with your faith as a child can plant the seeds and determine the pattern for your life as an adult. Brilliant, thank you very much. Yeah. Great. A child can trust from childhood and prove God's faithfulness. Well. Yeah. Absolutely. So in Matthew, there are some children who understand more than the other religious leaders. So indicating that children have a capacity to understand. Not saying that all children will, but that children have the capacity. Yep. Great. So the understanding of faith can show up in a child's life as people observe their lives, what they're living for, looks very different to the outside world. Brilliant. Thank you very much. We've got a little bit of an idea of the openness and the ability of children to understand and respond relationally to our Heavenly Father. We're going to do a little tiny bit of theory now, just to put this into a context. So there are lots of developmental theories about children, and some of them which reference faith. And while we respect them, we're not going to allow them to govern us and what we believe about how children learn and develop spiritually. The names of those who have pioneered theories of childhood and child faith development are Piaget, Erickson, Kohlberg, Fowler, and they've done real stages of development in the life of a child. And in summary, what they recognise is that as children mature, they move from concrete, very visual thinking to develop more abstract ways of thinking. And morally, children will begin with a very high orientation towards their family values, to a more abstract way of understanding and owning their own values and their own faith. What is important for us to note when we think about allowing developmental theories to influence how we think about children's spirituality is that none of the theories about faith development originate from specifically Christian sources. They understand faith as something that is common to everybody, so it's not specific to people who are religious or who are Christians. But what they do acknowledge is that faith develops over time. So a little bit of theory, you don't need to really know much about it, but just to remember that if you encounter childhood faith development theories, we will respect them and learn from them, but we will not allow them to supersede what the Bible says about faith development in children. Now, the Bible does mention stages of development in faith, and I wonder again in perhaps twos and threes, can you identify any of them? And what does it look like for someone to mature in their faith, mature in Christ? So just a minute this time to chat with the person next to you and see if you can identify any of them. Okay, I'm hoping that you've perhaps chatted about the images that people move from being fed by milk to solid food. You've maybe discussed botanical references, so the growing of seeds into plants or into trees. So there are references biblically to stages of development. Let's look at the next slide and just understand a little bit about human development. It's a complex mixture of growth in five core areas. So we have the moral, the spiritual, the physical, the emotional, and intellectual. But I want to say for us, as we consider the development of children, that actually spiritual is the most important one, and it should be foundational to all the others. If you think moral is about deciding what's right and wrong, and obviously what we believe spiritually will affect that. Physically, how we view our bodies and what they're used for. And again, if we think spiritually, that will affect how we interact with that developmental area. Emotionally, is all connected to our identity. And if we're Christians, our identity is in Christ. So again, it's foundational. And intellectually, where do we understand wisdom coming from? So is it of the world, or is it biblically the wisdom is the knowledge of God? So let me say that spiritually, actually, it should be the foundation of all the other developmental processes in the child. We're going to move on, and in a few minutes I'm going to get you into groups of the age groups you specifically work with, but to look at a little bit at observable spiritual development stages. And to say that these are the norm but not the rule would be really helpful in case you think, well, I have a child in my group who's not like that. There are some different children who perhaps are more advanced or less advanced, but these are some generic spiritual stages of development we can see in children. So the first one, babies and toddlers. The first three categories are actually going to be common to all the spiritual developmental stages. So it's really important when we think about working with babies and toddlers to think about building their worldview. And really that is just, if you can imagine a swimming mask or a snorkeling mask, which is stuck to your face and cemented there, that it will never be removed and you will observe everything about the world through that. That is what a worldview is like. Now, whether you can identify your worldview or not, you have one. Sitting here this afternoon, we all have a worldview, and how we interact with the world depends on our worldview. So we would want the children that we care for to have a biblical worldview, so that every time they look at the world, assess the world, interact with the world, they will do that through a biblical framework. And that will be common. Worldview is usually established fully by the time a child is 9, so that will run through all that we do. The second thing, and particularly this is important for toddlers and babies, is that they will learn the language of faith through their interaction with us. So when we speak to them of Jesus and of God and our love for him, when we speak to them about God's church, about his word, we are forming patterns of recognition in their minds that then they will be familiar with as they grow. And this is really, really important. So I guess some of you are perhaps thinking now about the work that you might do in church with the 0 to 2s. And actually, often we do very little, don't we? But what I would want to say is this is a key age for us to be thinking about. Really, really important to think how we're forming their worldview and encouraging the parents to take that seriously. If the parents are looking to us for guidance and we do nothing in the creche slot, well, what is that saying to them? And also we need to think about creating categories for children to understand the experiences that they have in the world. Then babies and toddlers, what about their understanding of God? Well, the building of significant relationships will deeply affect how they relate to God as they grow and mature. So the relationships that they have with parents, with grandparents, with other family members, with church members, with Sunday school teachers, are all highly significant for how they will relate to God as they grow. They will begin to form an understanding of trust and love, which obviously are all very important spiritually. And then Jesus, they'll observe and learn to imitate, firstly, our relationship with Jesus, which will subsequently inform their faith decisions. So it's very much about their worldview, it's about their relationships, and it's about giving them the language of faith which they will grow and then occupy for themselves, we would pray, at some stage. So some very quick top tips about supporting infant and toddler's spiritual growth. So read to little ones about God and Jesus. Talk often about God and Jesus. Tell children constantly that Jesus loves them. Use teachable moments to highlight spiritual truths. As children learn to talk, help instill words of our faith, such as God, Jesus, Bible, prayer, and many others, into their vocabulary. Include infants and toddlers in spiritual activities such as worship and prayer. So again, I hope you're reflecting on what we might do in our churches with this age group. Know that infants and toddlers really do learn at church. Encourage parents to have their youngest children present during family devotional times or prayer times. Pray with infants and toddlers, explaining that prayer is like talking to God. Make prayer a central part of the routine in your classroom, or for some of us it'll be creches. And remember that children discover God from infancy. Paul wrote to Timothy, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." So some top tips for working with babies and toddlers. Let's go on to 2 to 3-year-olds then. What about children as they get a little bit older? Well, children at this stage will hear most, will believe most of what they hear. They're very impressionable, and they certainly will be open to spiritual truths. So again, we're going to repeat the worldview building, the learning the language of faith, and the creating categories for the children to understand the experiences they have in the world. At this stage, they are beginning to understand simple but significant spiritual truths that relate to grasping concepts such as truth, love, trust, forgiveness, and the consequences of sin. So what happens if you're naughty? Is there a punishment? And they have learned and experienced these things in and through significant human relationships, which they will then begin to relate to God and God's economy as they understand more of him. So it's a formational time for young children. They have limited ability to understand abstract thoughts or concepts unless explained very well and in a clearly concrete way. So something like, "I am the bread of life," will be very hard for a child to understand at that age if it's not explained very well. Something like, "Ask Jesus into your heart," again, will be terrifying for a 2 or 3-year-old who will imagine a fully grown man opening their chest and climbing in. So we need to think carefully about how we articulate some of the things we want them to grasp, but perhaps we need to do it in a different linguistic way. When we think about God, children at this age will know about God. They, for the most part of their hearing about God, will believe he is real. They will understand some of his characteristics, that he is a creator, that he is a provider. they will have a capacity to express love for God and for Jesus. So they will be able to say, I love God, or I love Jesus. And they might be able to do that through a prayer, because they will have understood patterns of communication at this stage. They will have started to talk, they will be interacting with people, and so they will understand that prayer is talking to someone else. And then their relationship to Jesus, they will fully understand that he is a real person, and they will relish, they will love hearing about his life from the Bible. And they will be able to identify that he was a child just like them. So they will relationally understand well who Jesus was and what he was like. They can understand the facts of his death and the reason for his death, but they won't understand the implications fully. And they also won't understand the concept of death particularly well. So they may just encounter death as a bunny rabbit dying, or a grandparent dying, or a wasp being killed, something like that. But they won't know kind of all the emotional concerns that surround death. And then the Bible, they enjoy learning from the Bible and hearing stories read. They can understand that it's God's word, and that he teaches us all we need to know about God and our lives. So there's a little overview of children 2 to 3. 4 to 5 then, their consciences are emerging at this stage, and they have a more developed understanding of the concept of sin, confession, and the resulting forgiveness. This is better understood if experienced and modeled in their own lives. So as they do something naughty, that they then have to come and confess, and they're forgiven for that, they will then interact with that and be able to say, ah, I see what's happening when I need to confess to God and repent, and that he could forgive me. And they will relate that to how God works. They can relate to God in a very personal way. It can't be emphasized enough, though, that this has to do very much with their relationship with their parents and other significant adults. They will, at this stage, begin to understand his greatness and his awesome power and the meaning of these attributes. And they need to be continually reminded about God's love for them, that it is unconditional, that it's not dependent on what they do or how they behave, because at times some parenting is a little bit like that. You can come with me if you're good. You can have this if you're good. It's a reward-based, but they need to understand that God's love and grace is different, and they will begin to grasp that. And then Jesus, they understand that Jesus is God's son, but at this stage they won't be able to understand the Trinity. It's a pretty difficult concept even for adults, isn't it? So we have to remember that. But they can understand that he's God's son. So we do want to move them developmentally onwards. They can understand their personal need for forgiveness and the significance of Jesus in that. And they will enjoy encountering Jesus in the Word. And then their natural fascination and interest in life generally. Children at this age are just excited by everything. And that will give them a massive desire to get more stuck into the Bible, to hear more about Jesus, and to learn more of him. Now, at this stage, what I'm going to ask us to do, don't worry if you work with children who are a little bit older, we're going to have a sheet handed out. So I'm going to ask Matt, who's going to jump up and distribute some sheets. Once you've got a sheet, can I ask you, I know this is very unfortunate that I'm going to ask you to do this, but I'm going to ask you to move very quickly. Could I have the 0 to 2s over here, the 2s and 3s here, 4 to 5s at the back, and then 6 and 7s over there, and 8 to 11s kind of right at the back over there. So once you've had a sheet, if I can get you to jump up and move, we want to discuss how this... If you don't have an age group and you're only here out of interest, go where you feel. Well, there's some stuff for over 11s, but not much. So 0 to 2s here, 2 to 3s, 4 to 5s, 6 to 7s, and 8 to 11s right at the back. If you can form a little group, don't move the chairs because we'll get into trouble, but so you can chat to each other, that'd be fantastic. Anyone who's 11 plus, if you're 11 plus, you can come up here. We'll have a chat. All right, yeah, we'll just hang here. Right, you've got one more minute to get into a group. Are you twos and threes? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine, absolutely. 11 plus man. Okay, what I want you to begin to do is in your group, so on the sheet that you now have, you have those categories for every age group. Twos and threes, fours and fives, we've been through. Six and seven, 8 to 11, you have on the sheet. And I want you to begin to think about how this might change or affect what we do with children in our care when we think about developing them spiritually and what they can learn when. How do you think this will help us to interact with the children in our care? Sorry, 8 to 11-year-olds, you look a bit uncomfortable there. You can find a space and just sit down if you want. It is a workshop, so let's spend the next kind of 10 minutes chatting this through. If it's easier to do in smaller groups, please do that, and we'll have a little bit of feedback in a few minutes. Are we all 11 plus? Man, that's good. Okay. And yours isn't on the sheet. Let's all try and crowd over this way, and I'll kind of talk to us. Are you all 11 plus? Yeah, let's go this way a bit. Guys, let me just call everyone together. People are going to start reappearing in a second. If you want to get a seat, please do. We're just going to finish this time. Okay, I'm just going to finish off for 2 minutes before the rest of the guys come in. With some quick principles to encourage spiritual development. So here's the first one: honest living, displaying an openness and vulnerability in describing and detailing our own relationship with the Lord Jesus, treating each child as an individual. Don't assume because they're physically and emotionally maturing that they're similarly spiritually maturing. Respect the developmental process. Use different methods of communication. Try not to teach in a predictable way. Create an environment that is conducive to spiritual growth. Pray for their protection, that their hearts would be guarded, that they might manifest the spiritual attitudes as taught in Scripture, and for their parents and for other educators. And then model and reinforce the unseen realities of a Christ-centered, God-glorifying life, and carefully communicate the nature and attributes of God in a personal way. So we flew through those last ones. Very happy to answer some more questions. We have a break now. You can see people coming in. So do come and chat if you'd like to ask any questions. Let me pray and then we'll finish. Father, thank you that we can see from your word that children clearly can understand who you are, what you've done, and have a relationship with you. And we praise you for that. Father, as we think about the children that we work with, we long to see each and every one of them in a living and real relationship with you through the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would help us to keep thinking about this, that we might teach them well and nourish them spiritually for your glory. Amen.